Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Fresh off a victory in Jared versus Joe, ending Joe's five-game winning streak. So we can now say that in the lifetime of my daughter, Jared has actually won one of these competitions against you.
And Andy Dalton is to Caroline and Jared, their shared love for Andy Dalton can be credited.
Jared, yay. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm just doing fabulous. I wouldn't say it's a love for Andy Dalton as much as it is a recognition that Derek Carr is not that much better than Andy Dalton and that Andy Dalton was not the source of the problem.
Robbie, your thoughts?
I think Derek Carr is better than Andy Dalton significantly. That's just me. Maybe Andy Dalton back in the day.
It's just you. I will say, anyone who watches football.
Go look at the all-time passing list. You'll be surprised how high up the list Andy Dalton is, though.
The Red Rifle, baby.
He is. I'm just saying.
I'm just going to say, I watched the tape. You know, there's nothing more I can do other than that.
Watch the tape.
Than to say that Andy Dalton won the problem.
There we go. So, Jared, as we look at this matchup for the Titans against the Saints, what is your biggest question mark about the Titans other than the offensive line heading in this game? What has you concerned the most?
So I asked Chris Sanders like the same question the other day, and he just said the offensive without, you know, the qualifier of not the offensive line. And he said the offensive line and Nick Folk. And I was like, amen. amen. And that's kind of how I feel about the season. Like, if you tell me that the Titans can block and kick, and they don't even have to block well or really kick well other than just consistently make them, you know, when they matter. I mean, I think this team's going to be really, really, really good if they can, you know, those two issues get hammered out. I guess one thing I would say that I probably worry about a little bit is I think the offense is going to take some time. And even though, you know, it seems like Tannehill has done a pretty good job of learning this offense and DeAndre Hopkins already knows it and whatnot, just because of the line, I think the offense is probably going to take some time, which means this is probably going to be a low-scoring game on Sunday. And I just worry about the big plays that I think the Saints can muster, you know, with guys like Olave and Shaheed and Juwan Johnson. And, you know, we bring up Derek Carr. Fitz on the show yesterday, you know, I said, you know, Fitz, you're our Derek Carr expert because of your Raiders fandom. And Fitz said that Derek Carr between the 20s is the best, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And that then he gets inside the 20 and for some reason it's hard for him to put the ball in the end zone. And I'm worried about the big play. I'm worried about the 63-yard touchdown pass. I'm worried about, you know, those kind of things or a mix-up in coverage, you know, wide-open bomb to one of those guys. And so to answer your question, I guess if I can't say offensive line, and I'm going to assume that I can't say kicker, and I also think that I can't say punt returner, I guess I would go with big plays because in a game that's so low-scoring, if the Titans are going to score 16 to 20 points, you know, one or two big plays might decide the game.
So You said you think it'll take a while. I mean, I guess it just in terms of people gelling. I mean, because obviously, I mean, you know, the offensive line isn't necessarily going to get a ton better, right? As the season goes on, they get other than Petit Frere coming back.
I mean, I hope they get better. I mean, I think one of the things that is possible is that the players, you know, you brought up the word gel, but you know, I do think it is possible that throughout the course of the year that the Titans' offensive line kind of gets better. I also think that right now, like, they have an idea of where the weak spots in their line are, but, you know, after about 3 or 4 weeks, they'll probably know exactly, you know, where the issues in the line are, and then I think it may be easier for them to try to work around those things. So I just think that, you know, outside of, you know, plus it always takes Derrick Henry a little bit of time to get going throughout the course of the season, a notoriously so slow starter. So I do think it'll take a little bit of time. Plus, you know, even though Tannehill and Hopkins have develop some chemistry in camp and throw the ball to each other a lot, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have the game rep experience, which they don't have because they didn't play in the preseason. So I do think it's going to take some time. Like, I don't think that, you know, and I think that's probably across the board in the NFL for the most part with new offenses, but I certainly think that this would be no different.
Jared, are we Bobos? I've got the Titans going 11-6. Joe's got the Titans making the playoffs. And then I see this list that Sando came out with The Athletic the other day where executives around the league think the Titans are the 13th best team out of 16 in the AFC. I saw some predictions yesterday that had the Titans going 5-12. Are we gigantic Titans Bobos here on this show?
So yesterday I was listening to NFL radio and they had what's called Optimism Day where, you know, people call in about how everybody can be optimistic on opening day and that kind of thing. And this guy called in and actually brought up the Titans. And, you know, the two hosts were talking about the Titans, and the caller suggested that the Titans could win 11 games. And one of the hosts was like, yeah, I could see it. I could see it. You know, nobody's predicting it, but then once it gets brought, the Titans get brought to their attention, there's like a, you know what? I could see it. I could, you know, this team, they're not far removed from being the one seed. They added DeAndre Hopkins. They added, I mean, I do think there's probably some level of local media, I don't want to say homerism, but it's like the Saints, for instance. I saw that in the New Orleans Times-Picayune, 29 media people that cover the Saints, 28 of them think they're going to have a winning record. So there may be like a little like local bias in there, but I don't think it's too much. I just think that most people overlook the Titans. There's nothing special about the Titans that they think. And I believe that a lot of people had already made up their mind as to what their predictions for the season were going to look like, or had already ranked the teams in their head about where they felt everybody fit before the Titans added DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, had they added DeAndre Hopkins in March, maybe this is a different story. But because they added him so late, I think everybody already had their mind made up that, nope, Jacksonville's number one and the Titans are, you know, not very good. And they add DeAndre Hopkins. Because a lot of the talk before, like, DeAndre signed with the Titans nationally was, if this team signs DeAndre, they're a Super Bowl contender. And then the Titans signed it, and apparently it didn't move the signed him, and apparently it didn't move the needle at all. So you have to explain that one to me.
Well, I think with the Saints and the Titans both, it's also if you actually go through the schedules of these teams, you realize how many bad teams they both play.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, the AFC North teams, you may think that all like they're all better than the Titans, and that's fine. But three of them have to play Joe Burrow twice this year, right? I mean, that's something too. Like if people are making predictions, I mean, you went through it, Robin. You got to a tiebreaker.
I did.
You know, like a deep tiebreaker with the Jags and Titans, right? So I think that's part of it, too. It's like, are you doing a real surface? This, like Sandoz thing the other day, people picked the Titans 13th. But if they actually went through everything, would they pick them to be the 13th best record? That's wild to me.
I think that's a really valid point. I mean, I listened to Tim Hasselbeck the other day on the Midday Show, and they asked him, you know, what do you think the Titans, how good do you think the Titans are? He's like, 9-8. And, you know, I think that's without Tim going through the schedule and seeing, okay, there's five games against rookie quarterbacks in there, another game against Desmond Ridder, another game against Tampa Bay. I mean, now you're already at seven. And that's without, you know, a Vrabel special or the Titans beating teams that they, I think, are very capable of beating, like the Saints this week or the Cleveland Browns or even the Chargers next week. I mean, I certainly think that, you know, I don't look at there being a ton of games on the schedule that the Titans can't win. I mean, I have a hard time envisioning that they're going to beat Joe Burrow at home, just because they never beat Joe Burrow, and I don't think they're going to win on Thursday Night Football at the Steelers. But outside of that, I mean, there really aren't that many games. And I think about the quarterbacks that the Titans played last year. You know, the Titans played almost every good quarterback outside of Tom Brady in the NFL last year. They played Mahomes. They played Burrow. They played Allen. They played Rodgers. They played Hurts. They played Herbert. You know, they played them all last year. Lawrence and Dak Prescott. So, I mean, I do kind of feel like those things probably don't get taken into account. Plus, I just think my entire life, the Titans have always been viewed as a team that every year people are like, oh, they're going to be 8-8. You know, that's just kind of always been like a natural thing. I mean, even when the Titans were good when I was a kid, and I mean, I think Robbie kind of remembers this, like they went to the Super Bowl and then some people believed in them and they were 13-3. And then they had that 7-9 season in 2001, and then after that, it was always like, "Oh yeah, they're going to be 8-8, 9-7. That's what they're going to be." And they just kept making it to the playoffs, and people just kept not caring, and they kept getting the CBS F team. And so, I just don't think a lot has changed in that department.
Jared, last thing for you, maybe the question of the week this week, beyond the Titans going down there and getting a win, how did the Titans go out and perform on Sunday without spitting in the faces of Vols fans? How do you think they pull that one off?
Boy, I tell you, I've seen some I brought this up the other day. I think you may have heard this, like, of all the opinions. And, Robbie, your opinion on this is welcome. Over the 8 years, you know, that I've been doing this in some capacity or another on the radio, whether it was the Jared and the GM program or it was, you know, Stillman and Company, I think this may be the stupidest controversy that has come across my desk in those 8 years. And that's saying something. Because there was a lot to unpack in the Butch Jones era.
Oh, yeah.
There was,
I mean, about Shy Tuttle hitting himself with a helmet? You know, there's some good ones in there.
That was pretty stupid. I mean, you know, the Predators fans have had their moments with some really stupid controversies, though none, like, comes right to, you know, to the forefront of my mind right away. And, you know, the Titans fans about once every year have something that just gets up their tush that I don't understand. But this might be truly the stupidest one. Like, I had to research what this was about. And, like, what are we even talking about here? Like, I have no idea what we're – what are we doing? And I laugh because I think that deep down inside, like, you know, and Vols fans are what they are, when I found out that this was about Will Levis, I beside myself. Like, my school
he claims it's not.
I don't care what he claims. I know this is about Will Levis being drafted over Hendon Hooker. That's what it's about.
It's not about Will Levis?
Well, Charlie Burris is the one who started all this with his tweet, which was a quote tweet to what Withrow tweeted.
It's about Will Levis. That's what it's about.
Well, what did Charlie Burris say?
Well, I don't know. I keep meaning to listen to it, and then I don't. But then Robbie, in fact, I'd forgotten about it, and then you just brought it up again. he claimed, I don't know. It's like outreach, maybe, or I don't know. Yeah. I don't really get it.
Like, what does that mean? Like, do they want them to give him free tickets or something? Because yeah.
It's about Will Levis.
What's the gap between? Hey, you know, we send out, you know, little congratulations or good luck messages on Twitter. And we want all your fans to come to the game for free. Like, this isn't like Major League Baseball where there's 82 home games, and so they got to fill the stands someday so they can have Tennessee night at the ballpark. This is the NFL.
We'd like to have Derrick Henry run through the tee on one of these Saturdays. See if we can set that up.
There you go. See, they should have.
See, I'm not. I don't understand how they're Alabama not mad that he's their running back because he went to Alabama. Not
exactly.
It's just amazing to me. Jared, great stuff, my friend. Have a good weekend. And we'll talk to you next week. Lots to talk about with the Titans and the Saints coming up this weekend.
Yep, sounds good. See you guys.
All right, Jared Stillman, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check him out today at 2 o'clock. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 the game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow at 11 a.m. for our college football game of the week, Colorado taking on Nebraska, presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest non-conference games across the country. You're looking forward to that one coming on tomorrow between Colorado and Nebraska. We're going to get into college football here in just a few minutes on the program. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. I got a text that says, Jared was so cool in that segment. Not a whole lot of arguing going on from Jared. He was relatively calm.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that too. Well, I mean, a lot of times our arguing is because I get all mad about something and flustered. Maybe it's just because.
Maybe we should have gone to the cap.
Yeah, thank you for not. It's really dumb. I thank you for not on his behalf because he just makes himself sound ridiculous whenever he talks about it. But maybe it's just that we're excited about football.
Maybe so. Lester on the text line says, I don't believe what Jared just said that everybody was saying the Titans are going to be Super Bowl contenders if they sign D-Hop. Ask him who said it and when. I don't believe it was ever mentioned by the media anywhere.
No, that's,
I think that was his point.
Well, no, his point was that other teams were being talked about that way. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, like, well, I mean, basically what I heard was, could D-Hop put the Chiefs just won it without him.
Buffalo.
Could they put him over the top? Could they put Buffalo over the top? That is true. I mean, there were people who were saying stuff like that.
The Lions.
I will not read this text about why Jared may be in a good mood.
I saw that one.
LD says, Levis being named third string QB will go a long way to mend fences with Vols fans. Yeah, come on, Vrabel. Quit spitting in their faces. Hey. Tell them that Levis is number three.
Vol Nation. We have an announcement to make. Will Levis is our third-string quarterback and will be inactive coming up on Sunday.
We wish we had Hendon Hooker. Thank you.
Hey, Hendon Hooker on the Lions. All of a sudden, they're 1-0.
I'm just saying.
Just throwing it out there.
Bring a winner into your program.
That's right.
You never know what might happen.
Big part of their win last night, Hendon Hooker.
I bet you he's great in the building.
I'm sure he is. Hopefully, we don't have anything like that happen this weekend where – we're talking about something this stupid for all week. With Tennessee fans and Titans fans. It should be great.
I
just coexist together.
I got it. You got to remind me when the show's over, remind me that I'm going to go find Charlie's podcast where he talks about this.
I will remind you.
I mean, I've known him for a long time. He does a fine job.
I like him.
Job.
I do. Yeah, this is just an asinine opinion.
Because, like, an opinion like that coming from the nether regions of Vol Twitter, oh, sure. I mean, but I just can't believe that he would think that unless there's just a better. But you went to the mentions. Man, Levis.
I'm just telling you, it's about Will Levis.
Imagine a pro team ever worrying about a college fan base and drafting a player.
Who is the number two quarterback? We think we find that out today. Vrabel going to talk about that today listing off who's in and who's out?
I was hoping we'd get through the show without asking that question. But it is a good question. Yeah, you know, honestly, I'm not sure. It is possible. I mean, someone's going to add Glennon, step up. I already told Glennon the other day, you step up, buddy. Because I don't think I can. The only way I'm going over there is if I bring my Uncle Bill with me, because he's flying into town to watch Brennan play tonight. By the way, Uncle Bill, who was able to appreciate a Lions championship, so he's allowed to celebrate today. So I don't think I can be there. But someone needs to ask Vrabel the question of who's the number two quarterback. Yeah, will he answer? I'm not. I would guess he won't answer.
Probably not.
But you know what? I'd leave open the door that he might say, yeah, Malik's the backup.
What about Levis?
Well, yeah, then that.
I think it's hard for me to get there in week one because of the limited amount of work he got in the preseason. Like I think it's going to be Malik Willis as the number two quarterback. Now, hopefully, it doesn't matter if you're a Titans fan, but I think it will be Malik Willis as the number two quarterback Sunday.
Yeah, I do too. Now, that would have been actually a good question in the Jared segment to get people all riled up, because does Jared still believe that like it's actually Levis? Like Levis is QB2 right now?
I don't. It's hard to get there. I don't know how. And he's been hurt, right? I mean, that's why these preseason reps that he missed are so important. I mean, you got two games where he just couldn't play, and Malik Willis got all those games. And you know, by the way, we brought up the injury report earlier. Will Levis is on the injury report. He's been a full participant in each of the past 2 days. So, I mean, he looks like he's fine and ready to go out there. But just with the limited amount of work he's gotten in the preseason, I think it's got to be Willis. That's just me.
Yeah, I do too. Well, the limited amount of work he got, I haven't changed from like I think ultimately he's going to be ahead of him in like a year from now he'll be it. But it's not just limited amount of work in that work and the work he got in practice. Like, I mean, Willis was getting the twos reps and Willis was a little bit ahead of him. I think there's some things that both of them do better than the other one, but it's not like it's just because Levis was hurt. But otherwise, he'd clearly be QB2. No, yeah. I don't think that. Not right at this moment.
Well, the scenario that's interesting to me is the one that you brought up before, where, like, what is the plan if Tannehill goes down in the middle of the game? Like, that's when you're talking about number two quarterback, that's really what you're planning for, is, like, what if something happens to Tannehill in the second quarter? What are you doing then? It's a different situation if, you know that Tannehill is going to be out and you're formulating a game plan for the backup quarterback. That changes the way you view it. And maybe that's more conducive to Malik Willis. Maybe it's not. But like, if Tannehill goes down on Sunday in the second quarter, what's your plan of quarterback to take over at that point?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's still, I mean, all three of them play. They're in the same offense. They run a lot of the same plays. You'd dial up some different stuff and use what Malik does well if he goes in. But I don't. To me, it's not like you derail everything. Malik Willis has to prepare. Both of them have to be ready to run the offense and run the game plan that's installed this week. So I think it's Malik Willis, and Titans fans need to hope, whoever it is, that they don't find out.
Yeah. How many touches do you think Spears gets on Sunday in this game?
That's a really interesting one because, you know, it's like, is he getting carries, you know, here and there, couple carries? I think he'll obviously be on the field on third down, obvious passing situations. You know, like, honestly, what's the over-under on touches for Tyjae Spears? I'd set it at like 5.5.
I know. That's the number I had in my head.
Okay. Yep. I mean, it's something like that. I mean, is it crazy to think he could get, like, 10 touches in a game like this? I think, you know, at some point this year he will, and maybe Sunday's the day, but it's still a third down back, and are you really going to give a series, a two-down series to him in place of Derrick Henry at this point?
I just don't see it.
Yeah. Now, who, you know, we'll see how things develop.
I will say, I think they're more likely to hand the ball off to him than I think they were with Dontrell Hilliard last year. Like, Dontrell Hilliard last year, he got some carries, but he was basically, okay, he's the third down back and he's going out on pass patterns, which is why he led the team in touchdown receptions last year with four of them. Like, to me, he was more of the receiving threat. And Spears could be that. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. But I do think they're more likely to, oh, it's third and five, and you think they're passing, they're going to hand this draw off to Spears right up the middle and see what he can do with the ball. I think he's a really gifted runner. So I think that part of it is different for the Titans at that spot heading into this year.
They have not had a back since Derrick Henry became Derrick Henry. Remember, Deion Lewis was ahead of him for a lot of 2018.
Yeah.
Since Derrick Henry became Derrick Henry, they haven't had a back close to this level of quality of, man, you got to get this guy the ball. They haven't had a back like this where you think about giving someone work other than Derrick Henry since they had DeMarco Murray and he was a starter, you know?
Yep.
And again, I'm not saying Tyjae Spears is going to be a star in the league or anything like that, but he's too good to not have some things in for. And I think they'll have maybe some special things in for him.
Coming up next, we'll get into some college football action. Week 2 in college football this weekend. We'll look at Vanderbilt taking on Wake Forest, Tennessee and Austin Peay, and the big college football matchups in Week 2, Texas at Alabama, Colorado, Nebraska, all that coming up and more. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Pro Golf coming to Nashville this September 14th through 17th with a Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. Texting the keyword GOLF to 615-737-1025 and enter for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drink. We'll have the Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30 on the program here today. Joe Rexroad in first place after 1 week of Pigskin Pick'em. So
that's right.
Take a screenshot.
Enjoy.
We'll see how long that lasts. Jeez, I'm getting shots in on you today.
That's fine. That's fine. Make fun, you know. Me and the Lions, championship bound.
Week 2 of college football coming up this weekend. Vanderbilt on the road at Wake Forest. Tennessee at home hosting Austin Peay. And a couple of really intriguing matchups around college football. One that's underrated that I'm excited to see, Joe. Ole Miss on the road taking on Tulane. Top 25 matchup. We'll see how that goes for Lane Kiffin and company.
Should I go to it?
Maybe.
I'll be there.
You will be there.
I'll be there. I probably won't because I have other games to watch. But, yeah, I know that Michelle and Ryan will both be at the Ole Miss-Tulane game.
Absolutely.
Working.
Texas-Alabama this weekend in a big one. So looking forward to that. We'll get to those coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's start with Vanderbilt at Wake Forest. So Vanderbilt going on the road. They're 2-0. The performance against Hawaii was a little bit underwhelming. Now, I do agree with Clark Lee. I think Hawaii is better this year, and I think they're going to win some games out there, but we'll see what that looks like. First half against Alabama A&M, honestly, is pretty rough for Vanderbilt, and then they figured it out in the second half and pulled away in that game. So you're 2-0 heading into this game, which is right where you hoped you would be. Heading into this game on the road, you're a 10-point dog on the road heading into Wake Forest on Saturday, 10 a.m. start. So that's an early morning start, earlier than really any college football game that I can usually remember. I don't remember the 10 a.m. starts, but is what it is coming up tomorrow for Vanderbilt at Wake Forest. What do you make of this matchup? What do you make of the line? Wake Forest, a double-digit favorite in this game, 10 points at home against Vandy.
It's hard, it's just so hard to know. I mean, neither team has played – has played a team that should be competitive with them. Now, Hawaii was a lot more competitive with Vanderbilt than you know, we all anticipated. Alabama A&M probably for longer than we anticipated. Wake Forest blows out Elon. Look, it's a solid program now. There's no doubt about it. And, I mean, that's the thing about Wake Forest. They've gotten to a certain level under Dave Clawson, I think, of talent. They got a style they play. That offense is really fun to watch. It's tough to deal with. You know, last year, Vanderbilt really had some good stretches early in that game. They got away with turnovers. But they also, you know, they gave up some big shots in that game. It is tough. The slow mess, Clark Lee was talking with us about it the other day. I mean, it is really difficult. If they're able to, you know, hold the pocket and let the quarterback operate in there, it's difficult to deal with that. Mitch Griffiths is, you know, the guy in for Sam Hartman. I think Vanderbilt at its best, in which we haven't seen yet, can be in this game and have a chance to win it. Will Vanderbilt get to its best? How much does it matter that you did play two games at home against teams everybody thought you're going to blow out, and now you're on the road against a legit team, and you know this is a huge game? How much does that matter during the week? How much did it matter this week? We were over there. Yep. I mean, Kaharski was in the building yelling. That might have given him some motivation.
Maybe
alone.
So.
You know, just hearing him in through the walls, you know, complaining about the Titans. But I'm very interested in this game, and I think Vanderbilt can hang. You know, Wake Forest's defense, solid, but I think Vanderbilt has the offense to score points on a lot of people on their schedule this year, Wake Forest included.
Well, this is such a big game from a postseason standpoint, right? If like you're trying to get to six wins if you're Vanderbilt this year. You're 2-0. Hasn't been pretty, but you're 2-0 nonetheless. If you can find a way to win this one and put yourself on a path where you're taking on UNLV next week and you get to 4-0 in conference play, I mean, you still have to win two SEC games after that. But, I mean, there are, I think, some winnable SEC games that are on your schedule this year. You know, we've talked about worst-case scenario if you're going to make a bowl this year if you're Vanderbilt. Worst-case scenario coming out of conference play is probably 3-1 in order for that to happen. It would be a huge boost if you could go on the road and get a win against Wake Forest and find a way when non-conference play is all said and done with to be 4-0 heading into the SEC. That would be gigantic in terms of trying to get to a bowl game this year. It's going to be hard to do.
I mean, would they
but it'd be gigantic?
Would they be ranked? Wake Forest, probably not. You know, because Wake is down. You know, down by perception a little bit this year, but 4-0. But think about the excitement in this town if they got to 4-0. You
know? I know,
and I think it's absolutely UNLV and a win there is on the table. So it's not that a big. Key this week that could really help Vanderbilt is that Darren Agu, according to Clarkley, is supposed to be back. I think he's good chance to be back. That's a big deal. You gotta have more four-man pressure and just someone who can really give an offense. I've been excited to see him this year. You know, he played some as a true freshman, and that's just asking so much of someone, but he's a legit talent, and that would absolutely could absolutely make a difference for Vanderbilt on Saturday.
Joe, on the Tennessee front, obviously, I mean, there's not a ton to talk about in the Austin Peay game coming up on Saturday. You know, they're going to be wearing the smoky gray kind of combo Condridge Holloway throwback jerseys, which Tennessee fans are excited to see. But, I mean, really the question from the game standpoint is, what does the offense look like? How quickly is Joe Milton out of the game? How much playing time is Nico going to get on Saturday? I mean, there's a lot of that heading into the game. Now, one thing that is interesting about Tennessee this week, Keenan Peely is injured, and he is going to be out for a few weeks. I don't know exactly what that means and what that timetable looks like, but we've talked about Peely and the role that he's playing with Tennessee this year, the veteran linebacker that he is. Now, Tennessee does have some depth there. You've got Elijah Herring that's probably going to step into that role. Arion Carter can be there as well. So it's not like Tennessee doesn't have linebackers beyond Peely, but that's a big loss for them if he's out for an extended period of time. And with the Florida game looming, if he's not able to play in that one, which it doesn't look like he's going to be able to, that could be potentially a pretty big loss for Tennessee's defense.
Yeah, no, I think it is. But you know what? It's one of those things where you have to take the benefit of it, which is Herring and Carter get more snaps, and those guys are the future. I mean, I think next year those are the two guys in there. So a game like this, certainly, it's like, hey, more snaps for them, accelerate the process a little bit, and then, you are going to miss him against Florida. You know, the way that I've understood it is, you know, Beasley, Peely, there's a clear top two. But if you watched that Virginia game the other day, I think you also saw both of those guys running around looking pretty good. So there's a lot. So you got to hope that ultimately this turns out to be a benefit long run. I still think the Vols are going to smoke Florida. That's just my opinion right now. Yeah, I'm sure you'd like me to shut up about that, but I would. That's what I think. So I think ultimately you get him back for frankly, I think they're going to smoke South Carolina too. My gosh, I'm changing my prediction to 11-1. Jeez. I think you need him back by like Texas A&M. Texas A&M is the game I'm looking at for Tennessee right now that's like, that's an interesting one.
It is.
They have got some talent, and who knows? You know, this could be the year with Bobby Petrino. that they actually look like a top 10 football team. But yeah, it's not great, but you know you're going to have some injuries too, and you do have quality depth there. I mean, really talented players in Herring and Carter.
Michael in the text line says, go Govs on Saturday, Austin Peay alumni, 65-3 Tennessee. That's what Mike says.
Fly is open. Let's go Peay.
That's right. That's right. Texas, Alabama, down at Bryant-Denny this weekend, Joe. Alabama, 7-point favorite in this game. What do you think of this matchup? How much of a chance do you give the Longhorns to go on the road to Alabama and win this game?
I give them some chance. I give them a chance. This is the Texas thing, obviously. It's on and on and on. It's, oh, look at all the talent and everything, and then they underwhelm. So it's a big – this would be a huge thing for Steve Sarkisian to get this game. But flip it around and imagine Alabama losing this game. And I know it has been done so many times. I go back to some of those Hugh Freeze upsets of Nick Saban, the dynasty crumbling, you know, all that stuff. And it's always premature. And you look at their roster, we got a loaded roster and all that. But if they lose at home to Texas, first of all, it's bad for the SEC. I don't care what anybody says. Like, there's no other prove-it games for the SEC at the top of the SEC and the rest of the non-league schedule, right?
Tennessee, UConn, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Well, UTSA. UTSA is pretty good, man.
Yep.
I mean, it's a bad non-league schedule for the SEC, but the Alabama discussion, whether you think it's stupid or not, or will be stupid or not, it'll not be good. I mean, I think Alabama's going to grind it out with their defense and with their run game. I think it's going to be a very good football game. But
Texas, big game for Milroe. Like
it's a big.
It's one thing to light up MTSU, and he did. He ran all over the place. You know, he made some good throws in that game too. By the way, made some really good throws in that game. Can you make those throws against teams like Texas, or once you get into SEC play, making those throws? Because while he's really gifted as a runner and he's really good, and we saw it last year when he got in against Arkansas. He changed the game with like an 80-yard touchdown run. How much can you really do that in the SEC? Like, you got to be able to do more than just run around back there. So, big game for Milroe coming up Saturday.
Yeah, made some good throws, but you're talking about some long developing plays, all right, day to throw, and very open receivers. Like, it's just, you know, and a couple of those plays, again, very nice balls, but, like, can you actually throw passes like that into tight windows and make those big plays on 3rd and 8? I don't know. I mean, I still think the quarterback situation in Alabama could see some upheaval this year.
Yeah, I mean, Buckner got in there against MTSU. Simpson got in there against MTSU as well. So you're not going to see all three of them tomorrow. I would be shocked if you saw that. But I do think Milroe is probably going to get the first crack at it, and then we'll see where it goes from there. You know, Quinn Ewers last year when Texas was at home, they were winning.
Oh, yeah.
And he was playing really well, and then he got hurt, and right, Alabama comes back and wins the game. So obviously he's got to stay healthy, but if he does – what does that mean for Texas on the road? Could get pretty interesting.
I mean, Alabama wins that game because Bryce Young somehow like makes himself 2'3" tall and escapes a sack.
Yep.
And then Will Ant, like, you know, you had the two stars make huge plays or they lose that game.
Yep.
So I think it might be a good one.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. We will do that next. The NFL season is back, and so is our NFL pregame show. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 as they break down the Titans Week 1 matchup against the Saints. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parma Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
We the Detroit Lions. We the Detroit Lions. Stop playing with us.
A mighty team that will not yield.
We ain't done yet.
I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
We can overcome anything as long as you guys just hang with it.
What a win for the Lions last night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. It's that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road here on the program.
Is Nick like a phone app that like hears you say something and then they read your mind? All of a sudden you get an ad for something you're thinking about, like, gosh, I really need to, you know, get some kitchen cleaner, and then a kitchen cleaner ad puts up on your
phone?
Maybe
so.
Are you AI? Because you just, how did you know that I was going to rant about the Lions?
Intuition.
It's pretty low-hanging fruit today.
I suppose that's true.
Well, that's fine. I have no problem going to the obvious. Look, we're not going to do this year, folks, okay?
Yes, we are.
We're not going to do this year. I went through way too much in my life because of the Detroit Lions. You are not going to troll me every time the Lions win a game this year, okay? They won a freaking game. You know why they won a game last night? Because the Chiefs, two of their top three players didn't play, and because Kadarius Toney takes a perfect pass and Patrick Mahomes says, here's a free touchdown, Lions! And drops another pass, and, you know, good for the Lions. Let's see. Last night, Andrew Schulman, Lions, Dylan Boucher. So much for the Lions getting throttled. I got you making jokes about the Super. That was pretty good.
You want to know a text I got from my dad last night when the Lions scored their first touchdown? Here's what it said. Little Rex Road, quietly coming to life inside Joe.
Oh, man. Glennon texted me last night and says, how's little Sparty doing? I'm like, well, he's not as excited as he used to be because, like, cool teenagers are just like, yeah, okay, whatever, man.
It took the first touchdown of the season. Amon-Ra St. Brown strolling into the end zone last night. My dad's like, Joseph's childhood's coming back to life right in front of our very eyes.
Let me promise you. I mean, all NFL teams win some games and have some good stretches, make the playoffs. There is no illusion here, okay? In the end, I will prevail. I will win. So if you guys – yeah, if you guys want to troll me, I mean, look at the Greg Anderson, the George Michael guitar tweet.
And you've gotten it all morning on the text line about the Lions.
All morning on the text line. I got Johnny DeSilviera saying, does this mean Joe Rex is going to pick against the Lions the rest of the season? Reverse psychology. Very nice. Gregory Anderson has a Don't Stop Believing. And by the way, that is perfect because, you know, Steve Perry sings a song about South Detroit, which doesn't exist. It's called Downriver, Steve. I mean, my brother-in-law, because last night in a text thread, I'm like, yeah, they stink, man. Just stop. And he's trolling me all left and right. I mean, it's fun and all, but I've been through too much, and I went through a serious life change, and it's a fantastic life change that it's not going to change, okay? It's been 25 years or 24 years? 25 years. Whatever. Basically a quarter century of a better life without them. So, you know, hopefully, I mean, I think do we talk about the Lions too much on this program?
Well, maybe before, but not now. Probably don't talk about them enough.
Yeah, like they're not going to be that good, guys, okay? And if they are, good for them. I don't think that you all need to attack me because of it, okay? You don't understand what I've been through. I've told some of the stories. I haven't told all the stories. Told some of the stories, okay? Young Rex Road is very hard, very, very hard. So please, you know, please give me some grace in this difficult time of the Lions actually looking like they might be a good football team, because it will not be real. It will be a mirage.
Paul on the text line has tweeted in a picture of Chubbs from Happy Gilmore with the hand that got bit off by the alligator. It says, Kadarius Toney's hand.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
I saw that one. Will says, Joe Rex load of BS. Wow. I don't know what that's in reference to, Will, but that's not very nice.
Dustin on the text line says, I'll take the Lions, you take the field, $100 a game. We settle the bet at the end of the year. It's my stakes from Dustin on the Lions.
Okay, so in other words, okay, you take the field like their opponents.
Their opponent every week?
Yeah.
Amen.
So they're 1-0 right now, so it wouldn't count for this game. I'll do that.
Probably not.
Taking Seattle next week.
Well, I'm just saying, like, in the end, they're going to be sub-500, so I'll win money. But you know what I want to say, because, you know, my Uncle Bill's coming today, and so he's coming to watch the little Nolensville Knights. That's a winning team right here, United.
It is.
Uncle Bill, again, he is understandably still obsessed with the Lions. He has a Lions license plate. Because he was there as a kid when they won a championship.
Yeah.
And so I feel terrible that he's gone.
He just got somebody in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Just got, exactly. Well, with Kaharski, but still, think about that. So he was like in second grade, and he's like, you know, he's like 75.
Yeah, I mean it's
so. I mean,
it's a lifetime now.
Most of his life is just, yeah. They've. But at least he got to experience that. If my Uncle Bill could see another championship, man, I think I'd forgive the Lions for everything.
Corey in Clarksville says, Rex Road and the Lions, such a toxic relationship. He's had too much heartache. too much heartache. I mean, I will say we're at SEC Media Days, and Gary Danielson comes strolling out right in front of us, and you could see it all coming back for Rex Road right in front of him. Like, oh, man, Gary, five interceptions.
In 1983, how do you throw five interceptions in a playoff game?
He barely threw five passes in 1983.
He had Billy Sims in the backfield. Billy Sims had like an 80-yard run in that game. He threw five picks.
I got to say, and I know, look, I know why they won the game last night. I know that Travis Kelce didn't play. And I know Chris Jones didn't play. I know Kadarius Toney basically turned around and handed the ball to Brian Branch there for the touchdown. So I get all that. They look pretty good. They look like a good team, I will say. The Lions do. I like them.
Well, look, I mean, it's like the Jags. It's the same idea, right? I mean, if you pick at the top of the draft over and over again, you have to be unbelievably incompetent to not get better at some point, don't you? I mean, of course, and every franchise, every team in this league has ups and downs, and they get better. But if your ownership's bad, you're going to find a way to screw it up. You're going to hire the wrong people. You're going to make the wrong decisions, and it's been decades and decades of that. And I just cannot buy that that's just going to be overcome. I'm sorry.
So let me ask you this. Like, if they do win the division this
year, pretty good
team. Is that proving you wrong? Like, is that – what do they have to accomplish this year for you to say, okay, I was wrong about the Lions?
They've won one playoff game since 1957.
Okay, I know. Is that it? Is it winning a playoff game?
I mean, if they were to win a playoff game, that'd be something. But the point of this all is to win a championship.
I know.
So that's what they have to do, win a championship. They're not going to win a championship, ever.
We talked about the Titans having a successful season the other day, and we talked about winning the division in a playoff game. And now it's the Lions have to win a championship.
Well, you're asking me what's it going to take for me to change my mind.
The Lions.
That's what it is.
You must win.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, any team in this league can get to like 9-10 wins. Anybody. They all do at some point. Who cares? Doesn't mean crap. It's kind of ugly, though.
I just enjoy it. Like, I was even on Twitter last night and so far on the text line this morning. People are really enjoying this Lions victory on your behalf.
Yeah.
It's going to be a season-long thing.
Yeah, and I almost regret opening up all the wounds, you know, because now you guys are pouring salt in them. I don't appreciate it.
JC in Goodsville says, I'm a Vandy fan, Joe. Enjoy it and believe. Lost to Tennessee from 1983 to 2005. Don't tell me about insufferable fan letdowns. It's from JC and Goodsville.
That's a fair point. Like, if you've hung in with through all the times with Vanderbilt football, you are an absolute champion.
That's right. 615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans Week 1 matchup against the Saints. Looking forward to that. Make sure you tune in to 1025-1063 The Game tomorrow for Vanderbilt football. Commodores kicking off at 10 a.m. on the road against Wake Forest with pregame beginning at 8:30. You can hear it all on 1025 The Game, the 1025 The Game app, or at thegamenashville.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.